We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So we will start with...
We'll start with Dave, hurry the f*** up.
That's what we'll start
right?
with. Come on, Mike.
Dave!
Every single show, I'm like already recording.
Why are you doing that, by the way?
Because I'm the guy who has kids and I need to get the F out of here.
Dude, you're supposed to care about your kids.
I know, but there, I'm sure you went through this when they were a certain age, right before they're fully committed to school, grade school, that you're like trying to juggle so many different things and you have to rush home at this time because you got to take them here. It's just bananas right now. So I'm about a year out. I'm a year out, and then both of them are going to be going to the same school. And then
your girls
it'll
have been in like daycare / preschool for 4.5 years now. What's going on with that?
It was weird because, you know, I really respect Ralph. And he has a daughter, Olivia, who's, I think, 6 now. And I kind of like,
she's,
you know,
already 6.
I know. Isn't that crazy? He's way smarter than I am or ever will be, right? Mm-hmm. So he, you know, we kind of like shoot the shit about, you know, parenting and stuff. So he decided to put his kid in preschool at around 3. And I started doing some research. And, it's definitely like one of those things that if you can't afford, why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, at 3, you know, we did some research. We found a great Montessori school, and we started off with 3 days and then 5 days in her second year. Now she'll be entering this August. She'll be going to kindergarten. And our little one, who's 3 now, we signed her up for 3 days, and she loved it. So she's just automatically going 5 days.
Oh.
So, yeah, so she loves it. So she's just starting. So she'll be another 2 years, and then both of them are going to be going to the same elementary school, and it's going to be a way, way easier time for mommy and daddy.
Yes.
Yeah. Right now, it's just crazy.
Yeah, because you got to race out of here every day right after the show. And
it's crazy.
Sucks.
And then I have a home studio.
You're missing so much shenanigan action.
I miss, and I love all the stuff that Kevin does, like shooting people with Nerf guns.
Yes.
I get to miss all that. You know, I would love to be involved in that, but... Yeah. So I got to be daddy sometimes.
Yeah. Do you think Dave is going to be part of this podcast?
I have no idea. We're just like, just talking.
He came
out
in
of
here,
holes.
Dropped off a paper, and then
he's out of 5,000.
We're off to a slow start today. Well, this is Lightning and DJ Omar Khan to my right.
Yeah. Let's just get into the intro. What do you think? Should we get into the intro and then have him just wander in, or should we wait for him?
I feel like we should know that he's going to be part of today's podcast.
Does he have something else to do that we don't know about?
Kevin was in, so we're working, do you know this? We're working on the next Kevin and Bean shirt.
I heard about it, yes.
So we had the last one, which was a Kevin Flub, right? It was Quitters Never Give Up,
yeah.
Right? Which was insanely successful, generated
a
wad of cash for his charity, for Friends and Helpers Foundation.
I really thought that you guys were going to sell. I was on vacation that day, Friday. I was, you guys will sell 200, maybe 300.
That's what I thought.
You guys sold over 2,000.
Yes.
Something crazy like that. That's so much money for charity.
It was
awesome.
Phenomenal.
That's
great. So Kevin and Melissa were just over the moon about it. Hey, look, it's Dave.
Hey, Dave.
So Dave and Kevin were in there chatting about the new shirt that they're creating. I don't want to pull back the curtain on it. We'll let it be a surprise. But I think the listeners are going to flip out when they see it. Because it's one of those jokes that they've been saying on the air for, you know, a long time now.
Yeah, for sure. Where's Chip? Is Chip here?
She's in the other room. We'll call her in when we get to her.
Okay.
Come along now. Take a ride with the BT. Let's get together and take a look behind the scenes. Talking about Kevin and Bean. Come on, let's start the show. Everybody grab your Vaseline. The B-Team. Yeah. The B-Team. The B-Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B-Team. Baby.
Let's get lubed up, guys. Come on, right?
Do we have to get lubed?
I think so.
You promised us that you were going to get rid of that, and then we said, okay, we want it.
It's fine. My name is DJ Omar Khan, the production guy for The Kevin and Bean Show. To my left, we have Lightning, the old producer of The Kevin Bean Show, and Who's that that just walked in?
Dave, the King of Mexico.
Hi, guys. I'm here. Sorry, I was actually working.
Listen.
And doing you have a job. Stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Loving what did you guys talk about?
Loving the B Team podcast so far. Great job. Love the behind the scenes look at the show. However, you guys, I just finished listening to episode number two.
What are you reading?
Hold on.
Why'd you just launch into that
out of
nowhere? Because it sounded so just like out of nowhere.
I don't know how to respond to that.
That was really weird.
Hold on, because Lionel says.
But
Omar,
I have a whole intro for the inbox and reading of the email.
This is before the inbox.
It's not Cat's Box.
Sorry.
This is before the inbox.
My bad.
The magic line here is, Omar, I'm disappointed, no poop joke.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's all right. I was happy with that.
I will work on that.
We started with
poop. I think maybe.
We started with
you
poop.
You know what? There was a song I did for Kevin and Bean. Well, no, I didn't necessarily do it for Kevin and Bean, but I wonder if it'd be okay to play on the podcast. It's definitely not FCC friendly. But it's not because of cursing. It's because of poop. It's a lot of poop.
I think
maybe we'll end the show with that.
I think we should play both of our poop songs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Paper Stains.
Oh, yeah.
Paper Stains is huge, too. Maybe we'll get some Paper Stains
on it, too. Oh, my gosh. All right. Okay. Hit the mailbag intro, whatever it's called.
Ooh, baby, baby, we're going to check the inbox. Baby, baby, we're not talking fart box. Baby, baby, we're not talking cat.
Yeah, it's the B Team, episode number three. Dear B Team, I've been listening to the Kevin and Bean Show since 1995. I moved out of the area in 2010, but still listening to the podcast every single day. In short, I love the show and I love the people on it. Please keep doing what you're doing, Anna. Lightning, I thought I would send you an email since you seem to be the most responsible person of the B Team. Yes. I would love to hear more about the various lawsuits that have been filed or at least threatened against the station, Kevin Bean, or any of the other DJs. The average listener, including myself, doesn't really understand the types of things you guys get yourself into. Therefore, it would be a nice perspective if you would do a regular segment where you provide one example of what happened, why it was a legal issue, and what was the end result. File that in the can't talk about it.
I think that'd be interesting. However, the lawyers might disagree.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So here's how it goes.
We have to figure that out.
Yeah, here's how it goes. I'm sure Lightning knows how it works, too.
Hey,
you can't talk about that. And we go, okay, done. Moving on.
Yeah, there was a time that we would argue about it at length for days and weeks occasionally, but that is no longer the case. Mm-hmm. The lawyers win.
Yeah, and it's very black and white when it comes down to that.
The fastest way for us to get fired is to talk about the lawsuits themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
So, no. Sorry, Joseph. Yeah. Not going to happen.
Good idea, though.
We're not going that far behind the scenes.
From PC. Oh, sorry. This is Ruby Nunez. Dear B Team, I just finished listening to your first episode. He's a slacker. Still on number one. And wanted to share my thoughts. I'm a loyal and avid listener of the Kevin and Bean Show. And when I saw you were all starting a behind the scenes podcast, I was immediately on board. I think it's a fascinating
Lightning
subject.
Sounds like the Micro Machine guy because he's reading so fast.
I am. Yeah.
Are you on cocaine right now?
I am on a lot of meth.
Take a breath.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm looking forward to what stories you share next. If I may make a suggestion.
Okay, speed up a little now.
Okay, Omar, keep the goddamn intro short. And also shoot for an hour. Give me that content. No, we can't do an hour. We don't have enough to say.
And maybe we'll work up to it. Right now, we're not that good.
We're definitely.
Just you can talk. You know,
based on the previous 10 minutes, you can tell we blow.
Seriously, just surprised that anyone is listening or cares. We really thought that this was a couple of, you know, we were going to be maybe even just one and done. And yeah, the emails that we're getting, the Afro calls, it's just, for me, it's mind blowing. It's just
The tweets. It's cool, man.
Yeah, it's super cool.
Omar at krock.com, lightning at krock.com.
Yeah, keep the suggestions
King of Mexico.
Coming. Yeah.
Is it, what is it?
K-Rock.
Yeah, King of Mexico, krock.com. Part two is great, says Michael Sugarman. Keep it up. I've been listening for over 10 years. It feels like I'm learning more about the family. Things I would love to hear about. The story behind no longer doing live out-of-studio shows, i.e. St. Patrick's Day, and the creation of the Miss Double December concept. I think I would like to hear more, but it looks like they've been killed. That's accurate. And we're going to have to get into how Omar caused the death of the St. Patrick's Day remote.
It was was a lot of different things that day. It was mostly
Omar.
But yeah, I guess mostly me.
It was mostly the reggaeton horn. Yes.
Yeah. What happens is that Mr. Weatherby, who we have the utmost respect, doesn't get a chance to listen to the entire show.
Yeah, he's the program director.
He's the program director. He's a big boss here. Only tunes into a couple of parts of the show.
Yes.
And he happened to tune into the last showbiz beat of that particular show. And I was just going off with the reggaeton horn just way too much. And I think it's funny. And I'm the type of person, if you tell me not to do it, I'm going to continue to do it because I'm amusing myself. And yes, I think that's super funny. And on the air, I listened back to it a couple of months later. And yeah, I could see where if you're not in on the joke, you were flipping the dial, you know, because it was like so annoying. Like, I totally get it.
Is, you know, when we're working, we have some drinks because we're allowed to. And you know, we're pretty free flowing and we're responsible guys. Omar was drinking heavily that day. And by that time, was wasted.
Well,
and here's a fun fact, guys. That was my very first time producing the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was my very first day producing the show. The previous producer was out that day on vacation or something, and that was my first time actually producing the show on my own, and I had to deal with Omar.
That's the best, yeah.
And they still let me have the job.
And you were thinking Omar is responsible, like he's the guy that keeps it all together.
I don't have to worry about Omar, because Omar has a good, you know, head on his shoulders and knows that.
No, but most of the time I'm not allowed. Look, Kevin knows. Kevin, you know too. When I get to, you know, Party Omar gets let loose.
Right.
I mean, there's no stopping Party Omar. And what happened was no breakfast, starting with some beer, some Guinness at 6 a.m. Not a good idea.
And you were doing shots that day, too.
And then around 7:30, I think Adrian brings around, hey, some Jameson shots. And who am I to deny the Irish whiskey? And so we started doing shots. And then the last thing I remember was a 9:40 showbiz. Just being super annoying, and I don't remember about an hour and a half chunk after that.
Well, no way.
Well, let me fill in that
hour
and a half chunk.
Yeah,
it ended with Omar not wanting to wait for his drinks, so he decided he would serve his own drinks and get behind the bar, whereas security then threw him out, and he got back in because he's Omar.
Well, you forgot. What did Kevin say to the security guard?
Exactly. I was going to get to that. When then security gets them the second time and they go, hey, what do you want me to do with them? Kevin says, throw them out.
Throw them out. No, it was because you know, the security guard knew I was part of the staff and I was on the Kevin Bean show. So the security asked Kevin, he's like, hey, you know, I know he's your boy or whatever, you know. And Kevin tells the security guard, what would he normally do? He's like, well, he'd be out. I'm like, he's out.
Yeah. I know. That was
he did the right thing.
Yeah,
by the way.
And that day was just a mess from there. I think Omar wanted to fight another staff member after
it wasn't a fight.
I passed out.
One of the promo drivers drove my car to the station.
Okay.
And I had a meeting with some people about some real estate I was buying around 4 o'clock. So I was we got to the station around noon, 12:30, something like that. And I was chilling. I think I was chilling in Chuck's office, the old promotion coordinator, and he had my keys. So roll around 3 o'clock, I'm like, man, I got to go. And he did not want me to go. And, you know, I was still kind of buzzed. You know, I probably shouldn't have left. But I was like, come on, Chuck. And, you know, I might have wrestled him for my keys.
But I got to tell you about my voicemails is first voicemail. Hey, Omar's wasted at the station because they took me home. So I live close to the location that we were at. So the van driver took me home. And then I check my voicemail and it's, hey, Omar's drunk. He's here though. We got him. Cool. I'm like, all right, he's safe. Next message. Hey, Omar's a little too drunk and he's trying to fight our promotions coordinator. What should we do? And then next call, seriously, pick up your phone. Omar's wasted. He's fighting everybody.
See, Omar, what you think is wrestling is an actual fight to the other person.
That's so funny.
To make matters worse, we had an intern who met us after the show, got wasted and was puking in the backyard. Everyone's looking at me, and I'm like, I'm passed out, guys. Phone off. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, and then come the following day, we get an email from Aisa. Not too happy. She's the promotions director. Not too happy that all of her promotions kids had to drive the morning show, half the morning show staff home. Yeah. That was not good times.
Yeah. So that was the death of the St. Patrick's Day remote. Now, I will say that the year prior, or maybe the year before that, was one of the funniest broadcasts that I have ever been a part of. It was where Ralph was drunk and he was poking fun at Bean, as he often does. And Bean was trying to get him to hurry along through his showbiz report.
That was a couple of years before.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and Ralph was on fire. And I'm going to play that audio because it's so freaking
funny. I've tried to look for it. I've never been able to find it.
I think I...
That's not St. Patty's Day, by
this
the way.
Is,
that was Oktoberfest.
No, we were at...
Because he was here.
No.
He was here.
No, he was on location drinking.
No, he was on location. That's where it happened.
Yes, Massa. Yeah. Comedy, Massa Bean, when he was doing that.
Oof. All right. Well, I don't know. I thought it was here. I thought it was here on Oktoberfest.
Nope,
where he got
I was
drunk.
Watching him do it, and I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah.
So anyway, I will dig up that audio because that St. Patrick's Day was great. And then we also have to talk about the one remote where Sam the Armenian comedian cursed after we told him not to.
Cinco de Mayo.
That was Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Drinko. Yeah. Yeah,
and I've never seen Kevin lose it like that. I've never seen Kevin laugh as
Kevin
hard as
he did. Kevin was literally under the table.
Actually under the table.
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
Well, to Sam's defense, he did not curse. He just said a word that is not acceptable.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, very unacceptable.
Yeah, very unacceptable.
And immediately, so we need to get to that. One more email from Elizabeth. Hi there. I worked as a morning show assistant to Frank Murphy and phone screener for Kevin and Bean, 1995 to 1996. I really enjoy your podcast. I have some funny memories of working there, and I hope you get Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla as guests sometime. Even Big Ted, Frank Murphy, would have some great stories as well. I had several nicknames during my time, but mostly I was known as Ice Bitch because I hated all the callers. Keep doing what you're doing. Beth, a.k.a. Little Beth.
Is she expecting her call?
Yes, she is, I think.
Okay.
I hope.
Hello?
Little Beth, Lightning.
Please call her Ice Bitch.
We've got Omar and Dave, the King of Mexico, in the studio, and we're recording. How are you doing, and what have you been doing with your life since the Kevin and Bean show?
I know. Well, it was very good prep. I became a continuation high school teacher.
So you're actually teaching broadcasting now?
No, I teach continuation high school.
But what's your subject?
Government and econ.
Oh, wow. That's very
different. If they're continuation high school, though, I mean, how much are they really?
Well, no, but do you guys know what continuation high school is? That's where you go when you get kicked out of
it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why my question was, how much are they paying attention to it?
But I will say the show prepped me. I just remember often being told to self-edit. You guys still get told that?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot. So now you're actually to the point and you get it.
I know. It's super helpful, though. I feel like everyone should be saying self-edit.
So what do you remember from your time there, Beth, with Kevin and Bean in exactly the mid-90s there?
I remember Frank Murphy was the producer, and you were not allowed to throw food in his trash can.
Oh, that's right. Frank Murphy would not allow us to throw away food trash in his trash can because it would decay and smell.
And I remember playing midget basketball.
Oh, you were there for that?
No, she was on the team.
She was on the first one?
Yeah.
The one I wasn't on, obviously, because we did it a second time.
Yeah, she was on the team for midget basketball.
Was she on the midget team?
No. She was on our team.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
very
cool.
Old school. And I remember they cheated. I don't know if they cheated.
Oh, no, the midgets totally cheated. Yeah, the midgets totally cheated.
So, and that was shocking for me. And I remember I did have one good assist because I'm not a sporty person. So that was a relief. And I remember the Cabesons, the family that lived in a cab.
Oh, my gosh. So that was Jimmy's short-lived animated TV show on radio. It was all about, the family that lived in a cab, the Cabesons. And we aired it probably, I think it only made it to like 3 or 4 episodes.
But Jon Stewart was on it.
Oh, that's Jon Stewart did the Cabesons?
Yeah, we're going to have
the real Jon Stewart.
If we could find that audio, that'd be awesome.
I have the audio.
You do?
I do.
The Cabesons?
Yes.
You know why that made an impression is because Jimmy wrote a joke in the script and it was like not that funny or the person wasn't dead, I forget. And Jon Stewart made it funnier in like 3 seconds. He goes, you should say this. And then we did. It was hilarious.
Because you played the wife or something on the Cabesons, right?
I believe I played the daughter and the wife.
I want to know why Beth was called the Ice Bitch, though.
Oh, well, that's because I hated all the listeners that called in.
So what were the listeners like?
They were awful. Okay, so they say I'd have these tirades. Occasionally they let me go on the air. And I want you to know this is like a double where you'd have to work with Tad and work with listeners. and talked to them on the phone. And Tad thought he was really, like, up in the show, so he would ask me to do things for him, like get him things. And I was dealing with listeners who were calling, and they'd call for information. You know, they'd want a phone number, they'd want it, whatever. And then they'd say, oh, okay, I don't have a pen. Well, you called for to get the information, but you didn't call and be prepared or anything. And then, so I would just go off, and they'd let me do that occasionally, and then they'd call me Ice Bitch.
Beth, I was a phone screener as well. Did the listeners call and ask you, what was that Anything Anything song?
Yes, for sure.
So all this time, have you still been listening to the Kevin and Bean Show?
For the most part, when I stayed in town, I was in Santa Barbara for several years, but no.
What do you think of the show now versus back in the day?
It's a lot, got a lot more sports, and I'm not a sport person. But I sometimes like it because I do feel like I can talk in more circles now. I understand more because I do listen to you guys talk about sports.
Yeah, I'm so, the same way. I hate sports, but the only reason I know sports and could, you know, carry on conversation with these douchebags is because of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right, me too. So I can talk to my dad, which is a neat kind of a relationship we can have on that I've never had.
So all in all, it was a good experience, it sounds like.
It was a great experience. It was great insight to the show. And I will say that I met some of the nicest people that I've ever met. I'll say Jimmy Kimmel is by far the nicest person I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
Did he ever fart on you like he did on me?
No, thank God.
But what a jerk.
I don't know if you remember, they wanted me to arm wrestle him in the interview.
No, I don't recall that.
Oh, my God, the interviews.
I want Jimmy to fart on me.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Oh, I would love that.
No.
I will. I'll leave you with one last story that I thought was hilarious is that one of my jobs was, because at the time we were at a building in like the, 18th floor or something in Burbank. So one of my jobs was to go down to the lobby before the building was open and let the guests in and bring them up to the show because I had the key card and everything. And then I had to do that with Quincy Jones. And I didn't know that he had been running late, and being on the air said, I'm really mad at Quincy Jones if he'd get his black ass up here. And I didn't know that was said because I missed it while I was getting Quincy. And so then Quincy heard it and was pissed when I got him. But I didn't get it. So it was really awkward because he was saying that and I was just smiling and laughing and like, ah, but so long story short, it was fine.
I wish your phone was more muffled because I got to be honest, I can't understand a goddamn word you're saying. Are you on an iPhone, like an iPhone 3G?
Yeah, exactly.
God damn it, Beth.
Thank you for taking the time out today, Beth. We really appreciate it. Your phone sucks.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, stand with the Withers. She honestly had the worst phone ever.
That was not
I couldn't,
good.
I really wanted to talk to her, and she doesn't know that her phone blows because she's not on the receiving end.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this actually is going to lead us nicely into this next bit. It's crazy, these things that Kevin Bean used to do. They just would not be up to snuff. Remember this. It's time to record that for me, Lightning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm the resident country singer.
Yeah, totally. So back in 1994, Lightning, were you working? Yeah.
Yes.
You've been since 91,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was here.
So I'm going to play you this, and it's going to blow your mind. Lightning created a file in the, we have this Kevin and Bean old bit folder. And I was getting prepped for the show, and the very first thing I click on, I start listening to, and my mind was just, what?
I cannot imagine what this is.
Listen.
And you've been teasing me for 24 hours
listen,
with this.
Listen.
All right.
That would be the Stinger on 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, 743.
Hey, keep listening, by the way, for a chance to win Sting tickets for Friday night, and I qualify for that.
By the way, Bean always cheesy.
Stinger. Stinger. I was like, I don't know a band named Stinger.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Sting tickets for Friday night, and I qualify for that trip to Madrid, Spain. We're still giving that away on the Rock all day today.
Hey, is the guy from Guinness Book of World Records here? Where's the guy? Is he here? Because we need to make sure we get this in the edition. I am burning up here. I need to take off the...
Bean's been hiding this shirt pretty much the entire time. He's taking off the jacket.
This is on the air.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
This is... jacket is now stuck. We're about to do the big cheeky.
This is my special Cinco de Mayo shirt. No, that's better.
All right, the idea, which came from Bean a long time ago, is that we need to do the world's largest Chico with a man sing-along.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Can you
no
believe
way.
That?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Lightning, do you know what Chico the Man is? Because all I know is it's like it's an old 70s cop show.
Yep.
And what it was huge?
It was huge at that time, and I was too young to watch or care. My parents watched it, but Bean's old timey like that. You remember, like Bean is a guy as if he were born in the 40s. You know, the 70s would have been a sweet spot for him. You know, I don't know why. Because remember in the 80s and early 90s, Bean did not have a television.
Oh, that's right.
So he missed more than a decade of TV. So everything he remembers is like, yes, he did not have a TV for almost. I think like almost 10 years.
Yeah.
The Bean Baxter.
Oh, Bean Baxter did not have a television.
It's hard to imagine because he watches all TV now.
I understand. He it was a whiplash effect. Yeah, like, crazy. And so.
But for me, it's crazy because the Kevin that I know would be like, no, we're not doing that. You know what I mean?
I think for Kevin, remember though, if an idea is so ludicrous, it comes full circle. Right, okay. If it's so cheesy and so ridiculous, he's like, "Okay, I'm in." If it's just cheesy, he's like, "No, that's lame." But mean and comedian is a great example. Yeah. He is so insane and so bad. He's so unfunny that it's really funny.
Okay, let's find out if this turns around to be funny.
Oh no, I know that bit, and it doesn't.
And I have fought it.
The people demanded it.
What people? I guess would be my question. I've fought it the entire time because A, Chico is dead. B, the man is dead. C, none of the people who are standing here have seen Chico and the Man
ever.
You have one? Check you out.
One.
But what about the big NBC special in a couple of Thursday nights? The big 11-year tribute.
No, that's,
they sure in the show.
That's Cheers.
Oh, that's Cheers.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with Chico.
Oh, I see. But I thought the final leap was coming up tonight.
No,
whereas
that's
the last
awesome leap. That's a different.
Is there any way to put those back in the file?
Oh, wow. A retroactive file.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a different show, too?
This show hasn't been on in 10 years.
I see.
Bean's trying hard to come up with shows that I know, so I appreciate that.
Well, a good choice, then, for a sing-along on Cinco de Mayo.
All right, let's do the sing-along. We have roughly 60,000, would you say, Bean?
I would say we moved the show from Anaheim Stadium because it couldn't contain it, as a matter of fact, yes. All right, you people, you have your lyric sheets, right? Are you ready to get into the Guinness Book of World Records 1994 edition?
We're at Arturo's Puffy Taco and Whittier with the world's largest sing-along, Chico and the Man.
Go ahead and roll the music, and let's do it on 106.7 K-Rock. This is big.
Oh, boy.
This is big.
Lisa, I don't know if you can feel the excitement down here, but people are on pins and needles getting ready to sing this song.
My nipples are erect.
I'm lactating.
What the hell?
World's largest ever Chico and the Man sing-along. Here it comes, folks.
They act like it's the biggest thing ever.
Yep.
Chico.
Very nice.
Don't be discouraged. The man ain't so hard to understand.
This was on TV?
No.
Oh.
Chico. Oh, you mean the
why the hell are we
the
doing
show? It? Chico and the Man? Yes, it was on TV.
Right. Here comes in a blast from the past.
Solo!
And a day has begun.
Michael the Maintenance Man is going to start flying.
No.
Michael the Maintenance Man!
I know things will be better.
That's enough of Michael the Maintenance Man.
I don't hear very much singing.
Everybody's probably all drunk.
You people are starved for entertainment in Whittier. That's all I'm saying. Do you know that in retrospect you were right? That was a really bad idea. That was a bad idea. I don't even know why I thought that would be good.
So
I just chicken with the man singing. Like, all right, stop the music.
Yeah, you can stop this.
There
disaster.
Was no sing along. It was just woo and the song.
So I will tell you guys that when I started, Kevin and Bean would do a live broadcast no less than once every 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a huge undertaking because we were always doing it. And we had Taru in the K-Rock van that had an antenna, a retractable antenna that went like 30, 40 feet in the air.
Yeah, like the kind the news vans
well, yeah,
have.
Exactly. Right, yeah. We don't use that stuff anymore, but we had one of those, and it never had a good signal. We could never hear the station. They could never hear us. It was
that
always
sounds pretty good.
That was an exception to the rule.
Okay. And I remember always being furious whenever we had a remote to do.
Right.
Because our engineering staff just couldn't seem to get their S together.
Yeah.
And when I started, I was a board op. And anytime a remote would come on the Kevin and Bean show, I was terrified because yes. I just like didn't want dead air, didn't want, you know, anything to go wrong. And I knew Bean was already on edge. So, but this was an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
And now I can't believe they used to do that once every 2 weeks.
Yeah. So we
that
were at
like fun to me.
We would be at like Tom's Place number 3, sitting in a booth with all the engineering equipment in the booth next to us. And we would just do these Friday morning remotes. And we would do like this one was at Arturo's Puffy Taco. And so, like, the reason we ended up there, funny name. That was it. It was
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, it was like a driving spot.
Well,
yeah.
Puffy Taco is a funny name.
Yeah, and that's how we ended up there. And people were like, oh, yeah, they have great tacos, you know, and deep fry them. Really cool.
Let me ask you this, because I started listening to the Kevin and Bean show when I started working here. Mm-hmm. I was an avid listener of K-Rock, but not Kevin and Bean show. I was more of a Baker Boys and Jay Thomas guy back then.
That's you and Dave.
Yeah. And now, the show that I know now, the Kevin Bean show I know now, with all the production elements, with everything, how, you know, we have a schedule, I can't imagine how they would do a live show every 2 weeks. Like, what would the content be? Like, what would they do?
Or well, you just heard it. I mean, it was organic bits or just wacky stuff that they would try. But remember, the pacing was different then. Now they know, like, it's all condensed to do. We have to be condensed to, like, a 9-minute piece. Right. And we would go on almost 20 minutes on some of these things.
Wow.
They would just keep going.
Yeah,
you
they
know?
Probably didn't have spots to run, so they'd be like,
no, we did. We had a full commercial load to run, you know, 13 an hour, whatever it was. But, like, they just went for it. And listen, it's not like they were proud of a lot of the stuff, but they were willing and they were trying a lot of things. And ultimately, all the stuff that didn't work, we shed. And that's kind of what you hear today. Like, it's a lot more streamlined.
And it's also one of these things that's weird is that, and that's a great point, they started as a team doing a radio show together in 1990 on K-Rock. That
Correct.
Was their first attempt to do it. Nobody gets that chance anymore in radio.
No,
in
New Year's Eve 1991.
So
yeah.
they got a chance to work out all the kinks live on a major market radio station.
Well, they did not think they were going to keep the gig. I mean, these are two guys that were both from Arizona. They worked at the same radio station, but in different roles.
Right.
And they weren't working to, like, you know, they had just passed each other in halls and stuff like that. And they were obviously friendly enough to get together.
Right.
And they decided to wing it and go for it for the job opening, you know.
It's crazy. And I think the first demo that they recorded, they had to fly out to a Frisco station.
Yeah, they did
and
San they Francisco.
Did, they did an overnight show together as Kevin and Bean. And then that's the tape, I think, that they sent to, who was a PD back then?
Yeah, it was Andy Schoen and Tripp Reeb,
Andy
Schoen
and Tripp Reeb. And they gave him a shot and That's all she wrote.
Yeah,
it's like crazy.
And we were doing bits like this, wacky stuff, for the better part of, you know, two decades.
Listen, I understand that listening back, how it could be perceived as not good, but I think that's am I wrong? I think that's funny because it's so weird and niche and just out of the norm. Like, you know, I think it's awesome.
To
like,
your point.
Who the hell's doing a sing-along to Chico the Man theme? No one.
To your point, in LA radio, no one's doing
no
that
one.
Stuff today.
Right.
No one is doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so,
right.
I mean, I personally, I love that. I would love to listen. I'm like, who are these dickheads doing this? You know what yes. I mean? This is awesome.
Yeah. So the bit that I fell in love with Kevin and Bean in 1990, there was the predecessor to me, Mark the Willful Boy. He was a student at Cal State Long Beach, and he was an intern in the board out for the guys. And they went and got every label, warning label, and they violated every warning label. So they said they would have, like, cough medicine. It says, do not operate heavy machinery after drinking this. So the Mark the Willful Boy got in a Caterpillar in a backhoe and drove, drove heavy machinery drunk. He ate a huge turkey meal and then went for a swim. He went for he did everything you're not supposed to do. And I thought, these rebellious mother effers are like, I'm in. These are my guys.
That's I love that stuff, you know. I mean, you know, we still have their meeting comedian, you know, on from time to time. But just the nonsense. I'm just such a huge fan. And I definitely know, like, you know, with all the research and stuff, I'm like in the minority. But yeah, I can't get enough of that sort of stuff.
Particularly ironic is that Bean always says, I'm not a fan of the nonsense. Like, that's his slug line. Like, I don't like nonsense. I don't like shenanigans or fun or all that. But he's the guy coming up with these Chico and the Man sing-alongs. That's all him. Like, he thinks So it's Bean is a walking dichotomy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I, you know, you got to love him.
And I think Bean was the one that discovered Sam, too, by the way.
I don't know. I don't know that that's the case. I feel like Sam came up on all of us at the same
time.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were at a remote and Sam just came up and I'm Sam, you know, and he started talking and. And he with such a thick accent, and we're like, where are you from? He's like, oh, I live in Turkey, but, you know, I'm from Armenia. And he instantly became the Armenian comedian. So, Dave, I don't know if you saw some of the emails that came in. A lot of people were looking for, like, knowledge on inside jokes.
Yeah, and the meaning behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the ones that comes up every so often that it's a audio drop that Bean plays is Anna. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was there when you came in all giggly like a little schoolgirl to record it. I produced. Well, you know what? I actually created a little intro for this bit.
You did?
So, yeah, yeah. Let's roll that first.
Oh. What's the inside joke?
Every time I hear it, I feel like a dope.
Well, that's accurate. People do feel like dopes that they're not in on the joke. And they've expressed that to us in the form of email. Do I talk here? Does this keep going? What's happening here?
Yeah,
okay.
Be a radio professional.
Oh, I didn't know what you had planned. Maybe it comes in strong.
Well, I have the audio next.
Oh, okay. Well, look. Anna. People hear Anna. And they wonder what that is. Why are we playing this random guy saying Anna? Do you want to explain it? Do you want me to do it?
You created it.
You created it. So what happened?
You're the dick here.
So what happened is that there's a bunch of pieces of audio that Kevin and Bean played through years that Lightning produced. Bono. Right,
Bono. Remember? Yeah, Sonny Bono.
Sonny Bono was one of them. When he died in a skiing accident. So Lightning had the great idea of we have these little pieces of audio that says, "Hey, what's up? This is so and so," and you listen to Kevin.
Oh,
Bean
IDs.
On
called
yes.
IDs,
yeah. right?
Yes.
So you would take their IDs, and in the case of Sonny Bono, you would play him like the sound of him skiing down a hill, and it was like, "Hey, this is Sonny Bono," and then him slamming into a tree. And then dying. You know
slammed
I mean?
Into a tree and dies,
and then,
yeah.
Yeah, and a body fall. So,
you're a good dude.
So you decided to do... actually, I was working production.
Okay.
I think you came in and was like, hey, dude, you got to produce this with this Anna Nicole ID. So I was like, okay, here. And I did you know my best. And you're like, well, it needs something at the end because it was just her walking and then falling over because I think she OD'd, right?
Yeah.
Or something. And you decided to add the little bit at the end, which was genius because we ended up playing this little bit of audio a ton.
Hi, I'm Anna Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the World.
Anna. See, the microphones were there when it happened.
So Anna Nicole Smith, famous model, married super rich guy, was always high as a kite towards the end of her life.
Unfortunately.
And Kevin and Bean, in trying to find the audio that you just played there, Omar, I went through a lot of her old dats and digital tapes. And I didn't realize how venomous Kevin and Bean were towards her at the end. I think that they loved her in the beginning because she was hot and had big boobs and the whole thing. And, you know, very Marilyn Monroe-esque thing. But then as her television show was on the air, E, it was like one of the first big shows on E, the E Network, right? Do you remember that show? And
was
she
it
was,
a reality show?
It was a reality show. They would follow her around. And it turns out that...
Oh, that's why they came in to film, right?
Yes, yeah, they came in.
Or something like that,
And she was mean to everyone on the show. And Kevin and Bean were following that and started to turn against her in a very big way.
Oh, okay.
Very big way. And they went from loving her to hating her overnight.
Because she was a jerk.
She was just a jerk to everyone. And then she was always high out of her mind, you know, on pills or who knows what else.
Right.
You can Google all that stuff. And so when this happened, like, it was right after she died. This was not like we waited weeks.
I hadn't even heard the news. And you came in and it's like, hey, dude, you need to produce this thing.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, I do what I'm told. You know what I mean?
I mean, normally it's tragedy plus time equals comedy. In this case, there was no time.
Not
it
for
was
this show.
The day of.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But yeah, let's hear that again.
Hi, I'm Anna Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the World.
Anna.
See, the microphones were there when it happened. Are you laughing on the tape already? Like, before it even...
No.
This is Kevin and Bean playing the audio.
Yeah, I know. And I think I hear Lightning laughing inside of it.
It might have been.
Anna.
So that little piece.
Anna?
Anna?
Got played over and over again.
Still to this day.
Anna?
He loves it.
Yeah, anytime. Anna? Anytime we would take a listener named Anna, it'd be like, Anna?
Anna?
Yeah.
Love that.
So that's how that happened.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, that's
oh, my God. I love that.
Dave, do you mind if I got to pause here and ask you, what the hell happened on the show when Ralph walked out during Bean's mashed potato conversation? What happened there? What did I miss? Because I tuned in and Ralph was storming out during a showbiz report.
I don't know anything about that.
So that happened. How did that really go down? We're gonna break it on down. We hope to enlighten. So that happened.
Omar?
I have the audio. I haven't listened to it yet.
I'm the only one that heard it. You guys work on the show now.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll listen.
I was dealing with the guests, so I missed it.
Okay. All right. You can't say that.
I'm sorry.
You can't say that. You know we can't say that. Ralph has walked out of the show before. It's usually for comedic reasons. This morning, I don't know. He was exasperated and he bailed, and I'd like to get to the bottom of it. So, Omar, roll the audio from this morning.
Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year, having been released in December of 1977. And so Sony Pictures has announced a new director's cut of the film.
Bean was very excited about this.
I am.
Did you watch the trailer that came out yesterday, Ralph? The new recut Close Encounters trailer for this re-release?
Yes. If only I was doing a story about Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and I would talk about that trailer.
Wasn't it
if only
so,
that was coming.
Hey,
wasn't
it is so well done?
Is there a new trailer for that movie?
No. There isn't. Sadly, there was no new trailer released yesterday for that. Sony Pictures releasing the new director's cut of film in 4K to theaters for 1 week, beginning September
1st. I feel like we've heard enough of that theme.
Like juggling in the corner.
It sounds like right now.
You want less theme, less
letters?
I think we've heard enough, yeah.
All right.
Well, we don't need the Miko dance version or whatever. Can't you have a theme?
That is the theme. That's the actual John Williams theme right there.
Huh. Hmm. September 1st is when it'll be released to mark the anniversary of the film. So if you've never seen it on the big screen, here's your opportunity not only to see Close Encounters, but to see the director's cut of that film.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Of course it is.
Of course.
Yeah. Probably top five.
He was raving about the new trailer for Close Encounters, and I was like, there's a new Close Encounters? And he said, no, the old one. I was like, it took me a while to understand that there's a new trailer for an old movie.
Yes, because they're re-releasing it for its anniversary.
Ralph, I shouldn't admit this.
Here it comes.
I always put my mashed potatoes in a Low Mountain whenever I have mashed potatoes. Come on, don't leave. Ralph, that was irrelevant to the conversation. It's a plot point in the movie. You move your mashed potatoes around and turn them into a little mountain.
You should make them into a mountain, then you put the gravy in like a little
volcano.
That's
not why he does it, though. He does it because of Close Encounters.
Of Devil's Tower, Wyoming, yeah. Okay. Which is awesome, and you should go see the re-release. Looks like we lost Ralph, you guys.
Right. Yeah, we did, didn't we, Bean?
Yes,
we really screwed that up.
We should have handled this differently.
Yes, we should have. He's Ralph Garman, and he watched the Showbiz Beat.
So that happened.
That is hilarious.
Ralph?
So Ralph was already deflated because he ruined the him doing the trailer, and he was already pissed off because of that, right?
Yep.
Is that what happened?
Yep.
That's hilarious. I pulled another piece of audio. This happened on Monday. It was during the hardest game of the world, and talk about the show just falling apart. This is hilarious. Oh, that didn't play.
The other button. To your right. There you go.
Who's our winner, please, Mr. Announcer Man?
I don't know.
He has no idea.
He's not here. That's Allie's job.
What is happening?
Seriously, what the F?
What's happening? We need an intervention.
Jeff, who's our winner?
Unbelievable.
I hope you go into the desert in a bag.
Allie, who's our desert?
Crap. The winner is Matt.
Yeah. The losers are the
the audience. Hey, Matt.
Hey, awesome.
Hey, Matt is our desert.
Congratulations. Thank you for playing.
Oh, my God.
Enjoy the show, and thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Oh, get out of here.
How many times do we play that game, Omar? Either the hardest game in the world or the hardest game in the world, too.
Oh, my God. At least 50, I would say. At least.
And why do we get it wrong every time?
Because it's funny.
It is
know.
Funny.
I don't know.
I think they've always had a rough time with the games because there's so many of them. They just can't keep the flow and the rules straight and what Ralph's role is, announcer man, or is he the voice? Is he this? Does
but
he
it's
do
also
that?
Like we put a lot. There's so many moving parts to our games. I don't think people realize that Ralph's in one studio, you know, and then Kevin and Bean, you know, obviously Bean's in another city. intros, outros, the little stabs, the phone sound effect, the ding, the buzzer. There's a lot of moving parts to keep straight. And
but
we really,
but those things don't get screwed up, though, Omar. Those things are all intact.
But
what
I think
gets screwed up is the concept of the game.
But I think, you know, trying to keep everything straight is what leads to, you know, it's like, oh, what game are we doing in the middle of it? Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And trust me, if I was put in that position, I don't think I could do what they do.
Because,
I mean, they're juggling so many balls, you know? I mean, it's, I would fail too.
And
you know?
Bean's always so used to leading, like, I'm going to let's go to this color, let's go to this color. So when he does it in the hardest game, not knowing that, or not remembering that Ralph is the one who's supposed to lead as Mr. Announcer Man, oh, and then Ralph gets so mad at it. It's so funny.
But again, Ralph is so funny. And
he freaking
knows,
saves it.
Saves
every
it,
time.
It.
So that happened.
So that happened.
All right, if you guys don't mind, let's close the show with this email from Lionel. I always wanted to hear what Kevin and Bean and Ralph were talking about during commercials and songs, especially those times when songs end and the mics go live and they're already cracking up. What's the story with that? Can you record any of those breaks and share them with us? And of course, the answer is no. But really, how do we describe what's going on? Well, so to do that, we brought in Chip, who's the current board op and really runs the controls, stands behind Kevin during those.
The helper monkey.
Exactly. Yeah. So she's the little person. And how tall are you, actually, Chip?
I'm actually 5'2". I'm actually taller than Allie and Christine. But somehow I'm the shortest one
so
ever.
It just stuck.
Stuck, yeah.
Right. And the Chip thing was the chipmunk, or where did that... Yeah,
Before I worked at K-Rock, I worked at Disneyland. And in my intern interview, Mike named me and said, oh, yeah, she's Chip. So I was Chip from day one.
Okay.
Like, Kevin didn't know my real name for years.
I just barely found out your real name like a year and a half ago.
Right?
Yeah. Like, who the f*** is Danielle?
Yeah, right? Like nobody in this building has
light.
Besides a couple.
And by the way, Omar, you can't curse.
Sorry.
Not light. Even on the podcast.
Watch your f***ing mouth.
Not you too.
But yeah, Chip was the two-time Chip of the Year, right?
Disneyland. That was pretty decent.
I actually went and saw her live
in
person.
Are you saying that she won awards?
She won awards. Disneyland awards.
Damn good.
Yeah, she was a good Chip. She was happy and waved at people and pretended like me.
I do none of that now.
Yeah. Now she's funny.
Now I'm just an a-hole.
But now, so what they do during commercials is, you know, Chip will be the person who...
herds cats.
Be like, Kevin, 40 seconds, 20 seconds, 10 seconds, pot up, and then Kevin will be eating...
Hargard.
Yeah, right. Kevin sits on his play mat in the corner, and I'll give him a heads up, like, hey, you know, a minute left, so they know to get ready. And sometimes he'll acknowledge me, and I know that he gets it, and then I'll do, like, Kevin, 30. But then it's funnier. I could just get up and press a button, but it's funnier if you let me stand back and just go.
And just wait. And let the song fade out to complete silence.
I gave you a heads up.
Right.
But, yeah, so, and then also, you know, for the next breaks, you know, I'm getting all the sound effects together and, you know, doing all that.
Now, how many of the sound effects are you playing? Because you've got what's called the instant replay. It's a little like a sound effects box with like 50 keys on it, right?
Yeah.
And they'll just loop as many times as you hit each button.
Sure.
How often are you hitting those versus Kevin?
Well, it's a bit of like half and half with me and Kevin. Omar will attest to this that you work with Kevin long enough, you can kind of almost have a telepathic, you know what he's going to use. So
right.
Like once if you see a break going one way, I'm like, oh, I know he's going to want this drop. So I'll pull it up, hit him. And then show him, and then he'll hit it.
And you're serious? You actually are hitting him in the shoulder?
Oh yeah, I sock him. Like, yeah, yeah. Anytime I can, or like if I think something's funny, I'll pull something up and show it to him, and then you know. So it's a team.
Yin and
teamwork.
Yang. Yeah. Okay. And so how do we describe what's happening during commercial breaks to the listener who has no idea? Like, so Kevin is sitting on a yoga mat in the corner of the studio, and that's for real.
That's his office.
He's got a bad back, right?
Office,
and he's got his laptop, and he's sitting in Eden style.
Yeah.
And Chip is standing up about, I don't know, 72 inches away, mm-hmm. and you're behind the control board, and you're entering, you know, lining up the next song to play and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Bean is seeing you guys through a camera in the far corner, looking down at Ellie's back and looking directly at you, right? First commercial goes, what's happening?
Sometimes it'll be discussing, like, how that break that just ended, what they think about it, maybe, like, what they think they could do better. Or I'm checking in with Dave to see, hey, is a guest on time?
The answer is always no.
No, it's always no. And then it's, okay, what the F we're going to do now? Because now we're scrambling. So it's a lot, like, the first thing is always a lot, like, housekeeping of, you know, what happened and what's going to happen. Sometimes it'll be TV shows people are watching. Like, today, like, this week, it's all been about, like, Defiant Ones or, you know, like, Bachelorette was, a couple days ago, so we were talking about that. Today, Bean brought up the goddamn eclipse again. Because he knows that he brought up on air a couple days ago, and none of us had heard anything about it. And
No one cares.
Right. But
that's where we get a lot of thanks for that info, Bean.
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly where we get thanks for that info, Bean.
Exactly. Yeah. So because he brought it on air and none of us cared, now he's bringing us a new story about the eclipse every goddamn day for the next month until the eclipse happens.
And again, these are off air.
These are off
air. The listener doesn't hear. So as soon as the mics go off, now what people don't know is that Bean can hear all the mics and mm-hmm. we can talk to Bean as if we were on the air. Right.
Yeah. It's just
so it's a full line of communities
in the room.
Today was like that was the I won't say highlight, but that was the big thing that sticks in my mind today was he was bringing up that in the areas where the eclipse is like the best scene or whatever, how high the hotel prices are. That was what he was giving us today.
And there's a website where you could put in a zip code and see how much of the eclipse you're going to see.
Yeah, so that's what we've learned this week. Off air,
yeah,
about the
so thanks for that info,
Bean. So, I mean, look, what's happening on the air is there's a show on the air and there's a show off the air. And we wish we could show you the show off the air. I tried to do that for many years and they won't allow it. They love their private time, you know, to discuss
half stuff.
That's
the stuff we get fired for.
And that's the thing is that, you know, with our attorneys, we couldn't – they need to talk freely amongst themselves and develop mm-hmm. segments and just be themselves.
We work stuff out too. You gotta sometimes just work things out and see how we're gonna handle a segment.
Yeah, like flesh out a call-in topic, how you want to solve for it to get the calls they want, and that.
And yet they still screw it up when they go on the air.
Oh, of course, fighting over how title fight works. We fight every goddamn time.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. Well, that's what happens.
Omar, hit the outro so we sound professional.
All right. See you guys.
See you.
All right, Omar. You seriously have to leave?
I gotta go.
We're not even done yet.
Bye.
All right, well.
All right, now it's me.
Woo. Yes. Woo. It's Chip, Lightning,
thanks,
and
Chip.
Dave.
Yep.
For the B-Team podcast. Are we going to do this again, Dave?
I think so, man. You know, each week we are getting worse or better. I don't know. I can't tell.
Well, I was here, so better.
All right. B-Team.
Yeah, B-Team.
The B-Team. Yeah. The B-Team. The B-Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B-Team. Baby.
Hashtag the B-Team. At Carol.com. Carol Views Lightning.
Yeah.
DJ Omar.com.
Hey, Chips and Somar's not here. Can you reach?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, grab that pot on the right hand and just pull that. No, don't click it off. Just pot
she
it down slowly.
Reach.
Can you reach it? Oh, there you go.
Two hand reach.
There you go.
Bye.
It's about to pay me the big bucks.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.